BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
So how do you fancy Monday Scott Mills Daily? It's free and this is it. Chris's experience of festivals on 24 years at the Tap End. How long should you leave it for before you ask about the Wi-Fi password when you go into someone's house for the first time? The haters get put through the voice of Lawrence once again on Loving the Trolls. Dan and Phil dissect me and Jamila's new music video and play Real or No Real. And another big night out for Chris at the bingo.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello, this is Scott. How was your weekend? I'll tell you mine.
All right, Chris.
Yeah.
I played a gig for some indie kids in Sheffield on Friday night.
How are the indie gigs going, out of interest?
Well, it's my second one. There was a casual bit of trolling on Twitter, but most people enjoyed it. I wish we had the voice of Lawrence now, but there was one that was like, "Is it cold in here? Get your body warmer off." To which I reply, "Yes, it is, actually." Because it was.
You were wearing a body warmer whilst DJing.
It was freezing. Like, the only gig I've ever done that's been cold.
Was there no one in there?
There's a few. And then another smartass tweeted, "We're in the home of Pulp and the Arctic Monkeys and you're playing Linkin Park." Yeah, I played Pulp and Arctic Monkeys later on. Do one.
It sounds like it's all going very, very well on the indie front.
Yeah. And then I attempted hot yoga yesterday and spent the rest of the day feeling like all of my organs were burning.
Hot yoga?
Yeah. You sit in a sweaty room which smells of hot carpet, which is heated to 42 degrees, and you stretch and try and get your legs above over your head and stuff, and it's apparently really, really good for you.
Sounds appalling.
Yeah. I felt good after. What did you do?
You're going to love this. I went to the bingo last night. I know.
Sure.
I know. I think we need to talk about this properly, though.
Right. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. But there's a few changes I'd make.
Right, sure.
Scott Mills.
On BBC Radio 1.
We'll discuss those in a moment. So, talk me through this bingo night. Was it last night?
It was, yeah, last night, my first experience.
Isn't bingo more a kind of Friday, Saturday night pursuit?
Is it? You tell me. Have you been?
I went on a Friday night once for my birthday. That didn't end well.
It was really good. It was just placed in Slough. Like a proper full-on bingo hall. Just whilst they kind of want to give a big shout-out to Nana Joyce, who I met last night.
You met her there?
Yeah, yeah, epic. Sure. But what got me is, like, the speed they call the numbers.
I know. I couldn't believe it. When I went, and it was about 5 years ago, like, people go every week and their fingers are a blur. Some people have 10 cards on the go.
Mm.
It's like, how do you do that? It's like...
I just found also the way they say it as well. I always thought it was meant to be like legs 11 and two fat lady. It was all a
don't maybe, they do that?
No, it was a little bit dry. Like I've got a clip of it here.
Bingo calling.
Bingo calling. Yeah.
Blue 5 8, yellow 3 8, red 1 5.
Yeah, boring.
White 7 9 7.
What would you rather?
I would, in a way, I would rather the whole thing was just a little more exciting. You know, a bit like I go to the darts quite often. So when they score 180, it's the end of the game, and then they put on that song, you know, duh, 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 duh. I was expecting it to be a bit more like that.
Okay, I've got a bit of darts here. So this is when they get 180.
Yeah, and then it's the end of the game. Yeah.
It's a lot livelier.
Yeah. Oi, oi, oi.
Also, I found that when you're at bingo, if someone gets house, like, that should be when that happens.
Yes.
Instead, everyone's like, cow.
Exactly. I've never heard so many insults uttered in one moment.
Everyone under their breath, like, she won last week.
It's the only sport in the world. Is it a sport? But it's the only sport in the world where genuinely everyone hates each other.
Yeah.
In the room.
How dare she? And there's no celebration.
And they're all quite loud about it, because bless, some of the people in there, the hearing's not so good, so they say it quite loud.
Are you going to go again?
He said, oh, 100%. But I think I've got a few ideas for it. I don't know who I need to speak to about this in the world of bingo, but I just think it all needs a bit of a... There was loads of women in there, which is great.
How old?
Range of ages, but...
Youngest?
Well, I mean, the ladies next to me were a little bit older. Again, big hello to Nana Joyce and her friend Ro. In fact, I've got a photo which I can put up if you like, of me at the bingo. With,
it's all ages though, isn't it?
Yes.
Or is it?
It kind of is.
See, that's where you're going wrong. Friday and Saturday night, that's where the kids are. Really? Sunday night, just the grands.
I'll put this picture up on the Facebook and
Ready
Twitter.
Ready on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
A few bingo fans in the house. Like Cassie's 24. She went last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Doesn't really think it needs to be changed.
I just think it needs some... it needs more. It needs, like, in my opinion, walk on girls.
Like and, darts.
I'm basically just robbing the ideas from darts, yeah.
And also... I remember when I played a round with Bobby George, that was darts, wasn't it?
Yes.
I had smoke on my entrance. Like, I was in the kind of cage, and they played Dancing Queen by ABBA, and it was on BBC Sport, and there was loads of smoke, and I kind of walked in a fat suit with loads of bling on.
Yeah. I mean, the bingo caller could do with, like, one of those massive entrances, like you say, walk-on music,
yeah.
Smoke. I think, also, you know when they shout house? It needs, a big tune. It needs to go, house!
Everyone cheer.
Yeah.
No, but everyone just tuts. They're like... Ugh.
Yeah, no, it needs to go house, and then everyone... It needs to be like that.
Well, pass on your comments to the bingo house.
Do you know people?
Actually, I do. I do know someone.
I'm intrigued.
I just thought, I do know someone that works... At the bingo.
Right.
I think it's one of the people that does the, you know, where they link up with the whole country.
Oh, that's my favourite.
If you've never been to bingo, that's the best bit. The bit where they're like, and now we're linking up to all other bingo places in the UK. And then you can win loads of money. It's really good.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Diamond Devises is Isambard Keendom Brunel.
Ooh, yes.
Steve is Rowan Atkinson's Mr. Keen. And Simon in Heathrow is Keen Gaffney.
Oh, good one.
Really good today. I think we've had most of them before, but it's hard to come up with new ones, I find.
Really
Tap not. End, theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did.
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
Monday afternoon means 24 years at the Tap End. Is this another one where you just kind of dot around all over the place?
Yeah, I like these ones because I can just, instead of just taking one year or one time, I think it's good to mix it up. And this one's themed, it's sort of about festivals.
Oh, I like a theme.
Yeah, my experience of festivals, which is something a lot of people do. But I haven't really done. So I thought I'd address it.
Well, you haven't been to any festivals.
Well, I have. I have of sorts.
Okay. Well, read on.
But I'll crack on and we'll talk about it throughout.
I am Maroon 5's Adam Lakeen.
Very good. And I'm Radio 1's Alice Lakeen. I wasn't going to do that as a Keen, but I just suddenly thought that would work well and... Good old Alice Levine. Yeah. Should we dedicate this one to her?
Absolutely, for her appearance on Innuendo Bingo last week.
Okay, I'm ready.
With her maracas. Ready.
Growing up, I never really did the festival thing. I think perhaps I had the wrong idea of it. I always thought festivals were a hippie thing, and those who attended would hold hands and skip round in circles, smoking funny things and searching for spiritual enlightenment.
Is that because you saw Joe Wiley on TV and thought, that's not for me?
I think it was just my perception of it. It was, why am I thinking like flowers in my hair?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It all seemed a bit odd.
Straw cowboy hat.
It all just seemed a little bit, not just quirky, but a little bit weird.
People that smelt a bit, not Joe Wiley.
Yeah, look, and I'm not digging people that have gone to festival. I just mean it just wasn't for me. It just didn't seem right.
But I think you were wrong.
Agreed. Nothing wrong with that. It's just I was more of a city boy, and the idea of festivals scared me. Also, my mates had never really suggested going to one. Every year, I would see the hype for Glastonbury and the Isle of Wight Festival, but we never bothered. I regret this a little bit, as looking back, it would have had the potential to be a far better way of spending our time when we were 16 or 17 than under-18 nights at Destiny and Watford, or hanging round in the park in the small hope of seeing a girl, let alone meeting one.
Look, a girl, everybody!
I know, that used to be the...
In the park!
The height of my excitement. Whereas at festivals, they are everywhere.
What, girls?
Yeah, the ratio is huge.
There is a lot of them, isn't there?
Yeah. And it just, instead of, you know, waiting around in Pinner Memorial Park just to see a girl, go to a festival full of them.
Yeah.
My first experience of a music event was actually an event called Proms in the Park. This sounds very posh, and it was. All in all, it's a very pleasant event in London's Hyde Park that I went to with two of my aunts and my gran. You bring a picnic and there's live music, as well as big screens that links the Albert Hall, where the last night the Proms have been. It's all very patriotic and everyone waves flags and joins in singing songs like Land of Hope and Glory.
This is not like a festival.
Did you
think you'd gone to a festival?
I kind of think this was my first experience of a sort of outdoor event, or a festival, if you will. In the sense that there was a stage, there was a grassy area.
It's not the same.
It probably isn't, but at that time I was like, well, maybe I've got this festival thing wrong. It's all very pleasant. There's Pims.
But the toilets were really nice.
It was all very, very pleasant.
Were there girls there?
There were, but there were old girls there.
Still girls?
But yeah, you're spot on there, Scott. Girl's a girl.
Old girls.
Not too long before the first time I went to this night, England had beaten Germany 5-1. So when it came to the last night at the Proms, wanting to be patriotic, I turned up in a T-shirt I bought that read England 5, Germany 1. It was misjudged. I even got the impression some people were mildly insulted by it. It was great to experience live music in the open air, though.
Was it that thing where you're like, oh, this T-shirt will be hilarious, and then you get out in the general public and it's like, no, it's really not?
I went overboard with the patriotism, and it's a very fine line, seemingly.
You do that, though. Tell everyone what you do every time you hear the national anthem.
Well, I stand.
Wherever it is.
I stand, and I have to. And you've caught me out with this before, because you thought it'd be really hilarious as a joke at a pub I was in to keep playing it, because you knew I had to keep standing.
Yeah, that was good. In fact...
Yeah, you see, it annoys me that you make me do this every time.
He's standing, and he's got his... He's cupping his left breast. What are you doing?
I'm not cupping my breast, guys. I'm going to turn it off.
What are you doing? Turn it off. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
He's back down.
Oh. We're not going to do this all day.
Okay, I'll stop now.
Don't take...
All right, once more.
Ah. Oh.
Okay, you're good. Right.
Done?
Yep.
Okay.
Carry on.
Don't get me wrong, I've been to other concerts, including ones at school, and busted at Wembley Arena. But this was the first music event that felt mildly like what I imagined a festival to be like. With this experience under my belt, I got offered the chance by a friend to go to Reading Festival. The first thing that struck me as I got off the train at Reading was that all the professional festival goers were dressed in a certain way. Sunglasses, shorts and wellies. Some had hats. Girls large and small all wore very small... Girls large and small all wore very small shorts, which I respected. They don't mind.
No?
I wasn't a camper for this event. I was only down for the day, but I was assured that this still meant that I could tick off my first proper festival. I was hoping to crowd surf and give moshing a go. I wanted to get right involved and headed to the main stage to go watch the Black Keys perform. It's difficult to start a mosh pit, so I passed the time by doing the only dance I could do, the in-betweeners.
To the Black Keys?
Yeah. You can make that dance work to anything, trust me. At the Brits, I did it to Mumford & Sons. And it was beautiful.
Well, you just slow it down a bit.
Yeah, slow it right down. A couple of girls even came and joined in. I pushed to the front to try get involved. People got annoyed with me as I pushed through, which was ironic considering I was trying to find some people that would end up pushing me around, you know, to mosh.
Yeah.
You're so polite to get to the front, I find.
And what would
to
you
get
done
to a situation
you...
where you then just barge off each other?
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I found a group of lively lads and let them push me around for a bit. I'm not sure if technically I moshed, but I counted it. Crowd surfing was a no-go. My mate couldn't lift me up.
Excuse me, would you mind just pushing me around a bit?
Well, it's difficult because you don't want to look like you're starting a fight, so I sort of nudged myself off these lads because they looked like they were getting a bit rowdy. Then all of a sudden, it was like someone just gave this cue from nowhere. They all just started at each other. I just stood in the middle trying. It was a weird idea, this, isn't it, that you try and get yourself hurt. You try and... I don't understand. Truthfully, I don't understand it.
No.
Toilets were an odd one. The queue moved really quickly, which was something I assumed wouldn't be the case. I avoided the portaloos, as I'd heard horror stories of people who go push portaloos over, and you stand there helpless as you get covered in body fluids and blue stuff. But the normal urinals were an odd experience. Firstly, everyone could look on. It felt weird, but I just went along with it.
The outside ones?
Yeah. They're just in the middle, like, there's a small fence covering, but anyone walking past can see all the blokes there. I had nothing to be shy about. As I was doing my thing against...
What does that mean?
Well, I just mean that I didn't... Although people were looking on, I thought, this is a bit weird. But then I thought, come on, you know, I'm fine. So I went and got involved. I saw the Foo Fighters perform that night. And I vowed that this year I go to more festivals. Maybe even camping. Although the thought of that I do find a bit weird. But lots of people say it's an amazing experience. As I stood there, as Dave Grohl started singing Best of You, I had a beer in hand and a slightly bruised arm from the semi-moshing. But it felt great. I think I get what all this...
What?
Pardon?
From the what?
From the semi-moshing. No. No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, the moshing, like...
A little bit of moshing.
Yes, the basic level of moshing I was exposed to.
Yeah, you might want to reword that for the book.
I'm rewording that. But it felt great. I think I get what all this festival stuff is about now. By the end of this year, I want to be the guy with all the wristbands on my arm, even if it does look a bit trampy.
It is trampy. Take them off. Like, people wear them like a badge of honour.
I know, but I want to have that badge of honour. No, I don't think I've done it yet.
And everyone's like, well, it's okay because I clean them in the shower. No, it mings.
Yeah. Well, this year I'm going to do it. I think this year I'm going to, but the problem is I think I'm meant to have applied already. I don't know how you go about doing this festival thing. I mean, even though it is technically sleeping homeless, you've got to book it, haven't you, in advance?
Yes, you have.
And I haven't done that. So, well, look, we'll see how it goes,
like,
but I'd like to go to some festivals.
It's got, like, websites and stuff you go on. And, yeah,
I know.
Good. Theme tune.
Oh, this isn't it. Stop. This has got to stop.
And...
Paint the theme tune.
Okay.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
More Wednesday at 1:45.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1, Justin Timberlake. Went to see him last week at this gig in London after the Brits. There's a guy, one of his four backing singers, and he always stands, as you're looking, he always stands to the left. And he is a big lad. Mm. And you just think, he's a bit out of breath, even doing that arm movement like that. Like, oof. He's struggling a bit because he's singing. He's full on singing as well to that song.
I love that you notice this.
Then halfway, I always, always study the backing singers. So he's huffing and puffing a bit. I mean, he's big, right? But he's good. He's really good. Then halfway through, he breaks out into a full on Justin Timberlake dance routine with him. How does he do that?
Really?
So good.
Not to this song, right?
Something faster.
Really?
Yeah. I was well impressed. I was like, no way.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So I was at a friend's house at the weekend before I went off to Sheffield to do my gig. So I was only popping in a couple of hours. It's actually a friend of a friend, so I don't know them that well. And it was their birthday, but I said I'd go along.
Yeah.
Bit bored. You know, when you're just there and you're like, don't really know anybody. And just doing that small talk thing. Haven't really got anything to say because it was like mostly their friends there, so I don't really know them. I barely know this person. It was at their house. Here's a question for you, and I'll put it out there. If you're bored, how long do you leave it before you ask for someone's Wi-Fi password when you get to their house? Because I wanted to go on the internet.
You see, this is classic you. This is classic thrifty you. Because you've got 3G. But you obviously don't want to eat into your data.
Wasn't happen.
And also, this is so you, because I know you would have spent the whole time, because it's someone else's house and you were just going along with someone, I bet, just being on your phone the whole time to avoid
refresh,
talking to people.
Refresh. It's not because I'm rude. I am actually a bit shy in those situations. So
if it, rather than have the conversation be awkward, I will just look at my phone, even if there's nothing going on with it.
But you needed the Wi-Fi because you're...
Obviously,
you're...
I'd like more to be going on with it so I could check Twitter.
Scott Thrifty Mills.
I'd never been to their house before. How long, approximately, do you leave it before you go, what's the Wi-Fi password? A lot of people seem need to be sneaky with it if you're going around someone's house. Well, you would agree, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'd just go straight for the router. Thinking, I've done that previously.
I've never been to their house before. What? So you wait till they're not looking and go, if you see the router, you go up and get the code off?
Yeah, because you're saying ask for the password, but usually it's numbers and letters.
XT147. It's not easy to remember, is it?
You see the router, go for it.
Amy in Cardiff, this sounds like an awesome party. She was there at a party on Saturday. The host stuck a piece of paper on the wall with the Wi-Fi password on it. That's good. Sam says, I asked for it at the door. You've got to be prepared from the start. What? Oh, hello. Hi, thanks for inviting me to your house. Oh, the Wi-Fi password. Oh, you're very kind. I don't see that's okay. A lot of people with you, Chris, go straight to the router.
Oh, yeah.
Saves that awkward moment of having to ask them. Or say, hey, have you seen this brilliant video about whatever on YouTube? You really must check it out. At which point they go, oh, okay. Would you like the Wi-Fi? It's kind of easier.
That's good. And then the good thing is, when you're there another time, if you have to go back again, it saves it generally, doesn't
it? Exactly. Or someone saying ninja thing to do is, I mean, maybe you're going around there more than once, just take a quick snap with your phone camera.
I like this. Yeah. Pretend you're going to the toilet, straight to the router.
Do be careful of the flash, though, just a tip. We've all been caught out that way before. Oh, the flash has gone off.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, it's now time for what the haters are saying this week.
Loving the trolls. We're loving the trolls. 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 Is it?
It's time for Monday's Loving the Trolls. Basically, what happens is we've got a voice here, a computer, which we put all the trolls through called Lawrence, and he makes the abuse seem funny. So here's one about when I was trying to win those Brit tickets last week for one of our listeners. Do you remember Millie?
Yes.
And here's what the trolls had to say.
Shut up, Mills. You really have no chance of winning.
No chance of winning.
Oh.
And then it goes on to insult you, Chris.
As for you, Chris, you giggle like a little girl.
You giggle like a little girl.
Mm.
As for you, Chris, you giggle like a little girl.
Yep.
Listening to you piss like listening to baboons playing bum slaps.
Listening to you pair is like listening to baboons, I think, playing bum slaps.
Listening to you piss like listening to baboons playing bum slaps.
Yeah. Lawrence has got a cold. I don't know. I've never seen baboons playing bum slaps and I've never heard them.
What a random comparison.
I know. But that's what we find every week. Loving the trolls, they write stuff down when they tweet it or Facebook it that you just wouldn't say in real life. Anyway, they go on to say,
farewell to you both.
Farewell. I like nice farewell at the end.
It's quite an honourable one, though.
I like they use words and phrases that people never use when talking. So, farewell to you, troll.
Farewell to you both.
And also, I won, so in your face.
True.
And next.
Scott looks so scared. Rabbit in the headlights times 1,000.
Ah, that's when I was trying to win the Brits tickets and you could see all the Radio 1 DJs playing along on the website.
Scott looks so scared. Rabbit in the headlights times a thousand.
It was tense. And once again, as I said, I did win.
Mm.
I did. So once again, in your face, other troll.
Mills, rumour has it you won the Brits competition. Therefore, I would like to apologise and retract my troll texts. From yesterday.
Okay, so you're back with a retraction of previous texts.
Well, that's okay.
I like that.
I like this. I love that the retraction's been read out in Lawrence's voice.
It was quite harsh as well, but it's like, okay, I retract.
Oh, good on you.
Thank you very much. I just thought we'd put you through the voice of Lawrence. But you could see the error of your ways, and I appreciate that. Here's someone who really enjoyed last Thursday's show.
Get it together, Mills. You have clearly been up all night of the Bevits. Shambles.
I think
That's Lawrence is so posh that that's how he says Brits.
Brits!
Get it together, Mills. You have clearly been up all night of the bevish...
Brits!
Shambles.
So he was saying that last Thursday's show is a shambles. I actually left the Brits at 10:15. And for the first time ever, that's not true. I had one drink.
I mean, you can't blame
the,
it.
The show was a shambles. You've seen me after the Brits in previous years.
Yeah.
Oof. Last week, not the case.
Yeah, and I mean, you were one of the few people who weren't up all night.
I was.
At the Brits.
Yeah. But thanks for saying the show was a shambles anyway. Nothing to do with the Brits on that particular occasion.
No.
And then there's myself and Jamila Jamil, who made a new video to Labyrinth's Beneath Your Beautiful last week. It's on the Radio 1 YouTube. It was for the Dan and Phil show. We'll talk about this in a bit. So we recreated Labyrinth and Emily Sandé. You know, because they get listeners to do their own videos of songs.
Yeah.
And play them on a Sunday night in the request show. I don't know why, but I'm wearing a fried egg costume. And Jamila is in the chicken suit that she absolutely loves.
Scott, you so obviously fancy Jamila. Make it less obvious. Sunshine.
Sunshine. Good sunshine. Use of sunshine. Apparently, it was really obvious that I fancy Jamila Jamil in the video. I mean, see for yourself on the Radio 1 YouTube. You'll see it. It's one of the top videos, Beneath Your Beautiful. But it looks like I am cracking onto her, apparently.
Scott, you so obviously fancy Jamila. Make it less obvious.
Jamila.
Sunshine.
Thank you, Sunshine.
Is it the chicken outfit?
It's the chicken outfit.
Is it because, yeah.
See the video, because we're going to talk. Dan and Phil are coming in after three. We'll talk about this in detail. Premiered on their show last night. And finally, on Loving the Trolls, it's happened. The trolls are getting trolled. The feature has finally eaten itself.
Clearly, Scott is the best DJ at Radio 1. I think the trolls need to reflect on this instead of their pathetic jibes. They are just showing the world that they are talentless, small-minded people who are getting no action.
That's right, trolls. If you're sending in hate messages, you're getting no action.
I really like that.
From the voice of Lawrence. And that's what people have been saying this week.
I'm loving the trolls. 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 Loving the trolls.
Loving the trolls. Trolls. Trolls.
Is it trolls?
Trolls.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
And here's Dan and Phil. Hi.
Hola,
hi.
Hola.
I only saw you last night.
I know.
When I came into your request show.
It was weird seeing you at the other side of the desk.
I know, that was a bit odd, because you were in control.
I
don't like not being in control.
No.
Anyway, so you can watch us now streaming on your phone, look, or on the computer on the Radio 1 website, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. You can see us for a reason. Obviously, you can always see Dan and Phil because you watch their videos on internet.
Yeah,
and also
yeah.
On Sunday night, you can watch them. But we're all here gathered today for a moment that we're all going to have together before we play Real or No Real, where we let you see the video that me and Jamila Jamil have made to Labyrinth and Emily Sandé's Beneath Your Beautiful. What were your thoughts as you were playing this out last night on your request show?
It's a very special video, something I'd never experienced before.
The chemistry between you and Jamila is quite something.
Yeah. It's weird.
A lot of eye contact and stripping.
Yes. She insisted on that. There is mild stripping, to make you
mild
aware.
Mild stripping.
Nothing really to be worried about. Nothing that you wouldn't see on, I don't know, E4.
It's a 12A.
No, you should definitely get on the website to watch it, though.
Yes.
It's very special.
Is the chemistry genuine, or is this brilliant acting from you?
Ooh, good question.
That is a hard question.
Watch out, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I would say probably... I just throw myself into it. That's all I'm going to say.
Whose idea was it?
Jamila is obsessed with the chicken suit.
Yes.
You may have noticed she's obsessed with one of two clothes items. Mm-hmm. One is the chicken suit and one is the
furry polar bear
thing, which also has mittens.
Yes.
Which millions of people would have seen in...
in the magazines because she wears it a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's like her comfort thing, you know, with like you have a favourite hoodie or something that you wear.
Yeah.
A hanky. Yes. a big polar bear hat.
But in the video, you see her dressed as a chicken, dressed as a polar bear, dressed as some kind of sloth on top.
And you're kind of dressed as an egg and you're just.
That's right. I don't know why I was an egg, but I can reveal that she has got loads of layers on because I'm taking them off to beneath her beautiful.
I see it. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. So if you go to the Radio 1 website now, we can all watch this together. We can cringe at generally how uncomfortable we all look at bbc.co.uk/radio1. Watch on your phone. You can stream this on your phone now or get to a laptop and watch it. I'm about to press play on the video remake of the year, even though we didn't win.
Oh. I know. I'm very sorry about that.
However,
second.
Phil and Alice off of Evening Show, they did a brilliant version of Macklemore. I can't take it away from them. They went to an actual thrift shop. They had it closed for the day.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Or for an evening or something. Like, they definitely got it closed down like Nicole Scherzinger style.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah,
stop we business.
Yeah. So that was impressive, and they just look ghetto. I mean, they have done really well, and they deserve to win. Anyway, were we second?
You were second.
And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that.
You can watch all the videos on the Radio 1 YouTube as well.
Right, you may never recover from the experience of watching this video, so you really should be watching.
Also, you'll notice that no one really bats an eyelid in the Radio 1 office as this weird stuff is happening next to them.
Typical day.
Stuff like that happens a lot. We should really explain why we've done this.
Yes, context. That would help with all the embracing going on. Well, as people may know, some of the songs that we play during our show are actually music videos made by our listeners, which they then play out on the Radio 1 website.
Yeah.
All they have to do is make a music video to their favourite song, email it to danandphil@bbc.co.uk. So as it was accessible there, we thought this would be a good opportunity to get the other DJs involved.
And that's why we made the music video, and lots of others did as well.
Yeah,
you can also see them on the Radio 1 YouTube, including the winning video, which is really good, Alice doing Thrift Shop by Macklemore. So that's why we did it. And if you want to send in any videos, danandphil@bbc.co.uk. Some of the videos that people are sending in are incredible.
I know. We have no idea what to expect, do we? I mean, it could be like a lip-syncing 8-year-old, or it could be a bunch of university students that make something so great it could be entered to a film festival, or sometimes it's just like really disturbing and kind of odd and weird, which we like.
We do like that.
So do your best, please. Danandphil@bbc.co.uk. Send in a video of your favourite song Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Should we play Real or No Real?
Let's do it.
It's an Oscar special.
Hey.
Goody, goody.
Chris, my friend here, loves all things film. Doesn't know anything.
I'm a bit concerned about this game then, because you two have been up all night watching the Oscars.
I have not slept, but I know lots about the Oscars.
I do.
Still haven't slept.
No. Do I look like I've been on a couch for a while?
No, it's all good.
Hey.
Wow, so you were at a house party last night?
Yeah.
It was an Oscars party.
Which sounds glamorous.
It was
totally glamorous, yeah.
Were you at the Oscars?
No.
Was it like Elton John's party?
Yes. Same. I won't make any jokes.
Okay, so it's time for an Oscar special, Real or No Real. Some of these are guff, some of these are real. Which is which? Let's go.
All Oscar nominees are given a goodie bag as they arrive. Items in this year's bag include a $10,000 watch, a signed book of exclusive artwork by Meryl Streep, and a fresh bacon XL Whopper meal.
Now, I know one of the things you do get is a vampire facelift, which is where they remove the blood from the celebrity's face, remove all the platelets, isn't it?
Yeah, they use plasma
beams. And then put the blood
back
in again.
Why?
What?
Yeah, it's apparently, it's the latest thing in looking youthful. They remove
blood
from you, they treat the plasma in the blood, remove the platelets from it, and then inject it back into your face.
Yeah,
I want that. Vampire facelift. That's what all the guests at the Academy Awards got this year.
Just writing that down.
Yep. Vampire facelift. Don't do it at home, please, dear God.
I'll get a registered professional to do it.
Yes.
But it sounds great.
It does sound great.
Absolutely.
So did they say a Whopper meal?
A Whopper.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of it cutting them to more going, pickles all over their faces. Picking out the tomatoes and just throwing them in the aisle.
They do get good goodie bags.
So
real or no real?
Yeah, I don't think they're that good, though. So they wouldn't include a burger.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I would love that.
Dan?
No real.
Phil?
No real.
I'm going to say
that
no.
Oh,
I didn't even ask you.
Yep, no real.
That one is no real.
Correct.
Oh. Ding, 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 ding.
However, I think they do get, like, thousands of pounds in watches and stuff. So yeah,
bling.
Not so much. I think that maybe the burger at the end gave it away.
Maybe
as a no reel. Next,
in 1932, Walt Disney himself was invited to present the award for Best Animated Short Film, leading to an awkward moment when he opened the envelope to find that the winner was Walt Disney.
What? Why would that happen? It'd be like inviting Meryl Streep to give any award for anyone.
Yeah.
Best actor, I win.
Yeah, it's me.
That'd be a nice twist, though.
It would. It's kind of like a surprise birthday thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's standing there like, he knows it's going to be him. Awkward.
So the Walt Disney Award goes to Walt Disney. Chris?
I'm saying real.
I'm going to say no real. I can't imagine they'd let that happen.
That Ooh. One is real.
Yeah. Hey.
Now this one, this next one is interesting. But is it real or no real?
A sound engineer called Kevin O'Connell was Oscar nominated in 1983 for the film Terms of Endearment, but didn't win the award. He was also nominated in 1984, 85, 89, 92 and 95, but still didn't pick up the Oscar. He was later nominated twice in 1996, then again in 97, twice in 98, in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2004, 2005 and 2006, all without a win. In 2007, the man described as the most unlucky man in Hollywood was nominated for a 20th time. He didn't win.
Ooh, sounds like Leonardo DiCaprio. Boom!
Boom!
Did that snub in the face. Yeah.
So, if this is true, definitely the unluckiest man in Hollywood.
Mm.
It seems too much to me.
They can't nominate him 20 times or whatever that was and not give him anything.
Once. That'd be the worst.
It turns into a cruel vendetta. I'd just stop going.
Yeah, I'd just stop altogether.
I would snub it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when the parties, I wouldn't. I'm not going to your party.
I'm the sound guy.
Elton
John. Stay home.
Keep your vampire facelift.
Actually, I'd go for that.
Hey.
I'm going to say no real.
Why?
Because I reckon he won it at the end. I don't know whether he won or not last night. So I think, yes, he was very unlucky up to then. 20th time lucky, that's what they say, isn't it? So
Disney
no
Princess
real.
Ending.
Yeah.
Mm.
Dan?
I'm going to say that that's real. I think that it's true that they can be that vicious and horrible.
Phil?
I'm going to go no real.
Why?
Just because I don't believe it would happen.
Oh,
that one is real.
Oh, scandalous. Wow.
That's Hollywood,
that's
darling.
Seriously. Man, he's patient.
And one more.
In 1999, a power cut interrupted Elton John's legendary Oscars party. Most of the guests relocated to John Barrowman's house, which was just down the street.
Wow, I'd love to go to John Barrowman's party. Can you imagine how amazing
that I'm a bit scared. So, Elton John, you know what it's like. It uses a lot of power, that party.
I can imagine, a lot of light bulbs.
And that's just what he's wearing.
Yeah.
So, there was a power cut in 1999. Everyone relocates to TV John Barrowman's house. TV's John Barrowman.
Are we talking about, where is this Elton John party? Is it here or there?
In Los Angeles, it's where the Oscars are.
So we're saying John Barrowman lives around that way?
He has one every year after the Oscars.
Oh.
Okay, so we're saying John Barrowman's got a house out there,
yeah.
If this is real.
He's an American.
I can imagine they're neighbours.
Is he?
John Barrowman.
Okay, look, all I know of him is he does the lottery every now and then, doesn't he?
Not anymore, no.
And he does it with everyone in the
Hasn't done it for about 3 years.
Okay, right. Well, I'm going to say no real.
I'm going to say real. He's a pretty well-connected guy.
Yeah,
imagine walking down the street just like, woohoo, next to the...
I can imagine them being neighbours, and I could see that happening as a story.
Borrowing milk.
Yeah.
What? Mm.
Real.
Real.
That one is no real.
Oh, I so wanted that to happen.
All my
happen.
Dreams are dead.
And at the end of that round...
Dan scored 30, I scored 30, and Phil scored 10.
Oh, you suck.
I've had no sleep.
Get out.
I'll try harder next week.
Join us tomorrow on BBC Radio 1 between 1 and 4, including at 1:45. Another very wet innuendo bingo, that's planned. If you can't listen live, then get this podcast with all our best bits daily. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1.